Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul, is you living? We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't lived yet, now he in the tight corner. Gang got their sights on him, on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills said they took the wrong. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he didn't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitory he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live back then, making haters black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, mom.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
Yo, may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with ISIS and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time. Serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Bismillah, in the name of Allah, in the name of God, the Most High. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks belong to Allah. Yes, we are here tonight, Point of Impact. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the believers. And salam, peace to you all. Welcome to another night of Point of Impact. That's right, here we are, November the 5th, Sunday night, y'all know. But we're getting ready to move over, y'all. We're getting ready to move over to Wednesdays from 8 to 9. So pay attention, okay? From 8 to 9, we looking to make this transition in the next 2 weeks. So pay attention and be aware. Stay tuned, okay? And I want to welcome everyone for joining us tonight. I'm here, your host, Mr. Derek Hansford, a.k.a. Derek Malai. Derek Minhaj Hansford. Derek Malai Hansford. Malai Minhaj Hansford. Y'all know who I am. And then I got my beloved co-host, Mother Queen Krista Ellison, who may not be, I don't know if Krista's going to be joining us tonight. She may not be able to join us again, but she'll be joining us soon on Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know how it is. Life, it be life. And so then we got, of course, the brother to the people, Hassan Shabazz. Hassan, what's up, baby?
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. I know what time it is, bro. Peace and prayer to everybody out there, man. And of course, man, much love to you, my brother. We here.
Oh, thank you, family. I love you too, family. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Before we begin the show, I want to give a shout out to a brother who many of you may know who's a Patterson native, very well-known rapper in the underground world, was once a recording artist who broke through our city. His name is out of Patterson, New Jersey. His name is King Son. Y'all remember King Son? Well, King Son has had a tragedy, y'all, and we are a community, and we need to come together to help support one another. And you can go on his Facebook page to his GoFundMe, which is by Todd Turnbow. Todd Turnbow, y'all. That's Todd, T-O-D-D, Turnbow, T-U-R-N-B-O-W, Todd Turnbow. So go up, check him out. He's also on my Facebook page, the GoFundMe page. Listen, let's help this brother out. Him and his family was burnt out. They have no belongings,
Man.
And they, you know, they you know, they pumping it through week by week at, you know, a stay-in hotel. So let's get some support out there to these people. You know, our brother, you know, who is a young man that's very talented, and I'm grateful to say that he's giving back to our community, doing work in the community, reaching out to the youth. You know what I'm saying? So let's support this brother, man. He needs our help right now, you know, as we all would want the support. Just remember, you know what I'm saying, there will be a day you're going to need somebody to help you up. So let's help our brother up, King's Son. Let's give some acknowledgement to the brother's struggle, and let's donate what we can to help him and his family get suitable residence, okay? Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah. And tonight we got a wonderful show. Hassan, we got a wonderful show. This young lady is awesome. This young lady is awesome. And her name is Miss Monique Yassinia. And I'm telling you, she is awesome. She is really someone that has done a lot of work in our community. She's worked with a lot of brothers whom you met on this show. We have all been her students, and I'm proud and honored to have Miss Monique Yassinia on our platform here today, on Point of Impact, right here, right now. Miss Monique, you with us? How you doing, sister?
I'm with you. How y'all doing tonight?
We're good.
Beautiful.
Yes. This is a mentor. This woman right here, y'all, really in the trenches. She in the trenches for real with us. And I'm telling you right now, don't mess with her, because she brothers will rain on you for this sister right here. You hear me? Yes. I'm telling you, brothers will rain on you for this sister right here. I'm telling y'all, man. So just, you know, travel, walk on eggshells when you approaching her, because, listen, she's well protected in the community. But no, I'm just saying, like, she's really a wonderful person, and I'm grateful that she's here to not only just speak to her mission, but also to speak to people. So, you know, Monique, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell the people who you are, where you come from, what you're doing, and what's going on.
First of all, thank you so much for giving me this platform this evening. I surely appreciate it. Thank you so much. My name is Monique Yassinia. I know it's spelled Yesenia, but it's, I'm Puerto Rican, so, like, it's really, the Y's are pronounced with a J. So it's Monique Yassinia, but everybody says Monique Yassinia, and that's my, Yassinia is my middle name. But I have been doing this work. It will be 13 years in March. I am a former advocate. I did retire last year for the wrongly convicted and those who've been sentenced harshly. I am known for the Trayvon Blunt case. I worked about 7.5 years on his case, and along with his attorney, and I pushed his story on a worldwide basis and got him home. He was sentenced at 15 years old for 118 years and 6 life sentences for stealing 2 cell phones, 2 joints, and $60. With 2 adults. It was a home, they knew the people, his co-defendant knew the person there, and they went to do what they went to do. But the sentence was so harsh. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was killed. Nobody was raped. Nobody was murdered. or anything, and I fought for him for 7.5 years. He has been home for 3 years. He just, our story is very unique. He was just a stranger. I've seen his story on social media, and I just jumped in immediately to help him get home. He is my bonus son. At the time, Governor McAuliffe was in office, and I just told everybody, just let him come live with me. Just I didn't look. I was visiting him, pouring into him and everything. Ironically, I have a son named Trayvon, and they are a couple of weeks apart. So the irony
wow,
of that is, yeah, just my two Trays.
Okay.
And actually, I got three Trays because I helped raise my other Trays. So I call them my three Trays, and they're all the same age. But he's doing wonderful. He has a car, made sure he had a vehicle. He just moved into his own apartment. And he is doing amazing when they counted him out. And he is officially off probation as of February 28th of this year. So
wow,
he's doing awesome.
That's wonderful.
He's doing awesome. He just texted me a little while ago, too. Just checking
wonderful,
on me. That's my other bodyguard.
You got many. You more protected than the president from what I see. I said, you're more protected than the president.
I can't even. Don't let me be out. Where you at? Where you going tomorrow? Where you? I'm like, oh, my God. I'm living my life. Everybody relax. But, you know, it feels good. That's the duty of a black man anyway, to protect of the black woman.
That's right. That's right.
So,
that's
you
right.
know, there's that. But he's doing great. I'm known for the Jerron Tucker and the Louis Mox case as well. And I assisted 16 people home that were facing life sentences, that had life sentences.
Oh, man.
Jay
Sean,
can we get an applause for that?
Jay Sean,
can we get an applause?
Yeah, please. Well, if he can't do it, then I'm going to give a round of applause to myself.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, that's good.
My son, you got any questions tonight? Probably got a question?
Oh, I'm sorry?
You know, I most definitely always have questions, but this is more along the lines of just getting her to speak a little bit more along the lines of the work that she's done, because we know that advocacy is a hard job. Many times it's a job that don't pay a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just want to know, like, where does your passion come from? For being out there doing the work that you have done, and of course supporting those who are doing that work now. Can you speak a little bit about where that passion comes from?
The passion comes from I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm from East New York.
Okay.
I'm from was raised out in the Brookline Projects, about 10 minutes from Brownsville, East New York. So you know, I grew up around the biggest drug kingpins. I grew up around the gorillas. I grew up around all that, but I was always, you know, the good girl, and always seeing what was going on. They were very protective of me as well. But the injustices for black and brown people, and even poor white people, is absolutely, is devastating. And so,
right.
you know, you see
yeah.
these cases, you see the injustices. You see, there was a case identical to Trayvon, and the young man was white, is white, and he got 6 months probation.
Wow.
And so, you know, things like that, the system is built to destroy and to just destroy families and everything. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people that's in prison should be in prison. You know what I'm saying? I'm not
right.
trying to downplay
right.
it, but yeah. when we got babies 13, 14, 15 years old, maybe just, you know, and it's not right, so I don't want anybody to try and condemn what I'm saying, but if they're breaking into a house or they're just a product of their environment, it's our duty to embrace them. It's our duty to really get involved and say, stop, you can't do that. And a lot of times those children are just misled, want to be down, trying to be cool, a victim of their circumstances. The father's doing life in prison, the father's not around, or he's deceased, the mother's on drugs. or she has no patience, she's yelling, she's beating up, like those types of circumstances. And then we get what we get when I go sometimes, when I go into prisons. I'm also a prison coach and a reentry coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been teaching, I became a certified life coach and a certified relationship coach because I seen the need for those incarcerated, and I noticed that they were snatching a lot of programs or saying that they didn't have the funding and this, that, and the third. And it totally irritates me because I know they have the funding for it, but I want to know where's the funding going? Where is it going that all of a sudden people can't get GEDs and all of a sudden people can't get an HVAC certification and everything? And there's a lot of people out here willing to do work pro bono in the prison just to help because they have a heart. And it's just not happening. So I've been doing that for almost 13 years as well. I'm always – my methods do work. My methods definitely work.
Right.
And I'm blessed in that, you know, area. And I'm always booked.
Right.
I no longer have to call the prisons. They call me now. I'm actually booked until next spring. So because my methods are working. And my seminars are working. And some of my returning citizens that's home now, like Daryl Redman, I can do a list. Christopher Willis, like I can do a whole list. Freddie Williams, all of them. They're home and they're thriving. They're business owners. They're youth activists. They're life as a principal. He owns a school. Him and his wife own a school now in Georgia. So, to see the fruit, to see that, it makes me feel good. I have my rules. You know, when y'all get home, my word is my bond and my bond is my life. So if I say I'm going to be there for you, I'm there for you, and I don't let anybody down. The sisters as well, that's out of my classes at Fluvana and all of those facilities. I teach from South Carolina all the way to New York by request. So to see how good they're doing, even if they're happy, if I get them hooked up working at KFC or McDonald's or something, they're happy. I said, all I want you to do is stay focused and just, okay, you there right now. You might be on the grill right now, but your goal should be the manager. That should be your goal. If you feel like you want to stay there and that's what you want to do. And so, you know, when they get home, they have to, I give them free. I don't charge any of my returning citizens for my coaching services. Everybody gets five free coaching services for me. And homework. They don't have to always give out homework. The thing is this, you have to get mental health therapy in order to deal with me when you come home. So all I'm requiring is maybe once or twice a month because that's some heavy shit, sitting in prison for 20-something years for wrongful convictions, or if you've done something, it's heavy. And it's a psychological warfare on one's mind when they're sitting there. And when they come home, brothers and sisters are lost. They don't know how to work the phone. They don't know how to work the laptop. They don't know how to fill out for Medicaid. And that's where I come in at. I still play my part. And you know, majority of my students who sat in my classes, they're doing good. They all do mental health therapy. I make sure I get proof, and I still speak to them, deal with them. Up in the middle of the night sometimes when the brothers. Sometimes I get phone calls 2-3 in the morning, and they want to end their lives. You know, so this what Allah has put on me in my walk in life, I take very seriously. I don't know why I was chosen for this, but I accept it.
Alhamdulillah.
It is what it is. So, you know, I'll go and talk them down and stuff.
I can definitely appreciate that perspective. And, you know, I know firsthand. Because Ms. Monique has allowed me to be a student of her work, and I'm grateful to be a student of her work and to attain her wisdom. But I would like to know from you, Monique, what is the greatest obstacles that you are faced, or the kickbacks that you are faced with? What What are the greatest conflicts that you, you know, are met with in as far as the work that you're doing?
As far as the advocacy work, speaking at the Capitol and like, you know, sitting in meetings for prison reform and speaking on the behalf of my brothers and my sisters in those meetings, and I'm the only black woman in there sometimes, is racism. You know, it's racism sometimes sitting at those tables. And I hold my head strong, and I hold my head up high, you know. And you, y'all want smoke? I'm going to give you all this smoke. What's up? You know, I mean, I'm serious. And I come through, and it's mainly, you know, sometimes it's mainly those wardens that have so much to say. And, I have to knock them back down into reality because I know how y'all run your prison, so we don't want to go there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that obstacle, the letdowns probably of when a person has hope and thinking they're about to get a pardon or come home and then they don't, you know, I have to deal with the emotions of the families. Like I'm connected with people's wives and families and everything. It's just, it's just, you know, it's that big. I got two babies named after me. You know, so it's like, that's a big thing to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I think that also the mental health, when I'm in prisons, I see a lot of mental health issues while I'm in there speaking. And my classes are usually packed. I can see just facial expressions, body expressions. I can just, you know, or I get sad sometimes, and I do get emotional sometimes when, you know, after I speak in front of 200-300 people and that's incarcerated, I'm getting notes passed to me from kids that's 16 and 17 years old begging me to call their mothers because they're scared or they haven't heard from their moms, or with tears in their eyes and stuff like that. I go through all of that. So I feel everything. That's the Scorpio woman in me, I guess. I feel everything, so it does hurt. Because I have a black child. I have a black son. I have black sons.
Right.
And so that stuff like that bothers me. That's an obstacle for me. I have to stay prayed up. Before I go in, when I leave, as I'm driving and everything, just the stuff like that. Did I answer your question, brother?
Yeah, because, you know, I can imagine, you know, we definitely can identify. I know myself and Hassan, because we do a lot of work, too. And me personally, I work inside the jail. So I definitely identify with the issues of the administration, you know, being in the way. But I want to give big shout-outs to Joseph Barron, who is the sheriff of Norfolk City Jail, who has placed a lot of programs that are really assisting people in the jails to get out and be more successful and have more, you know, access to, you know, programs that can help them move forward. Yeah, I definitely understand. At this point right now, Jason, do we have any callers right now, Jason? Jay Sean, do we have any callers?
Not at this time. If anybody want to go live, you have to press 1.
Please, if anybody would like to give a positive comment or ask a positive question, please just press 1. We would love to engage you into our conversation. And any questions that you have may have for Ms. Christina, please just press 1. We would love to include you into this conversation, okay? Hassan, anything you want to add on?
Yeah, sure. Most definitely, because I'm very curious. I heard you say that you're retired now. Is that right?
I am. I retired last year. I had to step back. I lost my man 2 years ago. He died from COVID. And then
oh wow.
At his funeral, I at his funeral, I caught COVID. I caught the Delta variant. And so I was in the hospital about 3 days shy of a month, and they were signing me off and said I wouldn't make it through the night on the fourth or fifth night. So I've been through a lot. You know, I've been through a lot. So that, and I lost a total of 23 people in the last 2 years, and 8 people I were close with. So mentally, I had to go to therapy, you know, and I had I had to get my self together mentally. I'm strong, but I had to hang up my cape, you know, because I'm the go-to person for everything. And I had to get myself together, and, you know, I'm still dealing with the remnants of COVID. I deal with lupus as well. So, you know, so I had, that took a, that takes a lot out of you, brother. Like, advocating, it takes a lot. It just takes a lot, especially the emotional and spiritual side of it is a lot. And what I've witnessed over the years plagues in my head, and it's just a lot. I had to do that for myself. I cried, I prayed, and everything about it. And then Spirit spoke to me. I was on my balcony, and Spirit spoke to me, and I said, "I got it." And I said, "I'm gonna have to hang this cape up." So, yeah. But I still do.
Right.
You know, people always tell me, "You're still an advocate, Mo. You're still an advocate," because I'm still present for people. But, you know, people have legal questions and stuff like that. You know, I don't mind answering.
Yeah. Sure.
So,
well, for me, I know how tiring it can be. I do an after-school program in Jackson Ward in Gilpin Court with young men and women who are 12 to 17 years old. And just striving to implement preventative measures, right, to keep them from going into prison.
Mm-hmm.
But also, for 23 years, I, as a certified paralegal, you know, I did legal work inside a prison. And I know how heavy it can be upon you when you're striving to help people. And that's really what I wanted to ask you, like, how are you dealing with that? Because sometimes I know that we think we're strong enough to deal with it, but, you know, we might even need some therapy. We might even need, you know, somebody to talk to different times because, you know, we always there for everybody else, but people think that because you're there for everybody else, you're strong enough to deal with whatever comes
right.
with that. And so,
right.
you know,
oh, yeah,
I just
absolutely.
Wanted, yeah, I was just wondering, yeah.
Yeah, I would say I tell people all of the time, just because I specialize in life coaching, relationship coaching, and I specialize in, you know, mental health, suicide, depression, and, like, my certificates is everything, like, stuff I'm certified in my certificates. I don't have a degree, let me be very clear, in therapy or psychology or being a psychiatrist or anything like that, but I've studied a lot of stuff, and my resume is very long. But I always tell the guys, and I always tell the sisters, you have every right. Make sure when you go into therapy that your therapist is seeing somebody, because and you got that right to ask that. And if they're not, you don't need to see that therapist. And I only say that because you know, they need help too. They taking on so many souls and so much energy that
right.
who
yeah.
are they unloading on? So if they're not present,
right.
and can't really. If they're present, but if they can't give us their 100%, because they too are going through their stuff, then no, you like your therapist has to have a therapist. And so I'll tell you in a minute, yes, I'm in therapy every Thursday. When I came out of ICU, I was in therapy twice a week. And I just started breathing last year because I had to take care of myself and in healing. I was still fighting for my life. So, you know, and then the grieving process really kicked in a year later, last year. And so I had to, I told my therapist, her name is Tanisha, I told her, I said, we're probably going to have to turn this up twice a month because now I'm feeling everything, you know. But, you know, now it's just every Thursday, once a week now, and I'm good. And we do it via Zoom.
One of the things I wanted to, because I'm very passionate right now about the need to assist women who are really kind of discarded and left behind in the fight of criminal justice. Can you speak more to the need of aiding women in the prison system here in the state of Virginia and throughout the United States?
Well, I think that's a very good question. I think as far as that's concerned, I think because the volume of men in prison overrides the women, which is, you know, not right, seriously, but I think they get overshadowed sometimes because it's so, the numbers is higher.
So
do have their issues. They have a lot of emotional issues. So if I speak at a women's prison or a jail or whatever, they're crying from the time I come in that door until the time I leave. And sometimes I'm there 2 to 4 hours. And they're emotional. And, the white women, the younger white women are on meth. This is what I see in the prisons. The older black women are on crack and heroin. And the younger black women are on all these pills, and they are on heroin as well. So, you know, it's a lot. It is a lot. I have to prepare myself when I go inside of a woman's facility because it is a lot. And when I say a lot, it's a lot. And I love them to death. Like, I love them to death, but they can be, it's a lot. Everything's emotional. And some of the women that's in there is either in there, probably, I'm going to say, I'm not even going to front, like 15 to 20% from what I've seen over the 13 years is in there because of a man. And taking the charge for a dude.
Yeah.
Taking the charge for a dude and not saying nothing. Meanwhile, you know, the dude done moved on. He's whatever he's doing and leaves her hanging. Of course, he's not going to rat or anything like that. And then, so it just becomes, it's very disheartening. And then it becomes the grandmother got to take care of their kids, or the great-grandmother and stuff like that. Or I'm getting a phone. I even pick up people that don't have vehicles or gas in their car when it's time to pick their loved ones up, you know. So it's not cool, even down to sanitary napkins. When they have their period, why are they getting, that's gotten a little better, but why are they getting 3 pads a month? Like, you know, stuff like that. And so it is, they do need the help. They do need a voice, you know, and they come home, you know, women are very emotional. It's like 50%, 75% emotional. You know, half the time, sometimes we can't even make a decision on where the hell we want to eat. So, we need to be really pouring into the sisters. One thing I can say about the sisters opposed to the men, I notice if I give out assignments, I'm big on homework because y'all got to get this work in order to start healing. I'm not going to be up here just preaching and preaching and talking, not talking at you. Like, come on, we're going to do this group thing. We're going to get through. I do notice that all the women always finish their homework, and they always got their paperwork when I come back and we go through it. The men, maybe 2 or 3 out of 300. You know, I lost my paper. And I'm like, what are you, 5? Why did you lose the paper that I gave you? Like, no, you didn't lose that paper. So I feel like you wasn't listening to understanding. So, what's going on with that? You're not hurting nobody but yourself. At the end, and re-entry starts the day you start doing your time. It does not start 3 months before you walk out the door.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
All right. Jay-Shaw, do we have any callers yet, Jay-Shaw?
No, not at this time.
Wow, this is unusual. Yeah, we normally, we normally get the calls in early. I guess they might be tied up on them Cowboys getting whooped or something. I don't know.
I was about to say it's got to be the game. Yeah, the Cowboys are playing the Eagles tonight, right?
Yeah. It might be. You know, the Cowboy fans, they can't stand that pain. So, you know, they get the crying.
Regardless, Malai, we gonna hold it up, right? We're gonna make sure we hold it up. We're gonna hold the torch high, man. We're gonna hold this torch high because it's necessary for people to see this light. You know, whether they're here now, they'll be able to log on later and come back and you know, and listen to this podcast because I think that the content here is very much needed. I really just like to kind of speak a little bit about that part with our women who are incarcerated because I know I have a comrade at Fluvanna right now by the name of Chanel Burnett, and she's a certified paralegal, and she's done 17 years, and I know that largely the women who are in there, when it comes down to visitation, There's no brothers coming to visit them, right?
That's right.
They don't have men that come to visit them like the women knock the doors down for men, right? And that's very hard. When she would tell me about that, I would sit back and I would think to myself, you know, how are we able to provide the type of support that's needed to ensure that our women come home whole, right? That they come home with a desire for more, to be better, when they don't have that love and support from us, it's really difficult for them, man. Much more so than the
transition is difficult. It is very difficult. And to your point, brother, you are 150% correct, because if I go visit somebody incarcerated that's in a women's facility, my homegirl, she's locked up in Jersey that I grew up with, and I make sure when it's warm and stuff, I'll go see her, but I hold her down and I take care of her anyway. And you go in there, you visit people in women's facilities. It's all women and kids.
Wow.
You can see maybe two or three dudes up there, and a lot of times, maybe a husband or maybe their brother or their sons or something like that.
Right, right.
But if you go to a facility for a man, it's packed in there with women, and you know that's very bothersome. It's very bothersome,
right.
And some women don't want their babies to come up there to visit. I do know.
Right.
A lot of them don't want that. They don't want to see. They don't want their children to go through the process of just trying to get through the gates just to get in that visiting room. They don't want that. And it's a lot of tears. It's always a lot of tears in the visiting room. Always
and you
a
know,
lot of
you know
tears.
Something? A lot of people, like, that's why I'm so invested in, you know what I'm saying, aiding the system. Because, again, the number of men incarcerated, of course, you know, because of the great amount of men incarcerated, there are much-needed programs for us. But, you know, it's sad because the women get pushed to the back. and this is something that we as men of our community, we have to start to take more responsibility and accountability to get out there and protect our sisters so that they can come back better people and be, you know, the backbone and first teachers to our community that we need. This is a very emphatic message that needs to be put out. You know, we don't really have a lot of topics on this show that neglect either party, but at the end of the day, I really would like to see more influence more support towards, you know, the development of our sisters and women who are incarcerated. This is very, very imperative.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have to do more to get more programs. We have to do more to get more legislation pushed for these women to be mothers to their children, and first and foremost, while they're incarcerated. You know what I'm saying? This also gives incentive to the women to go out and be, you know, to while they're incarcerated, to utilize that time as they come up. You know what I'm saying? And this is very important.
Right.
And I'm just grateful. One, I'm very grateful to you for being the leader that you are, you know, as a woman and in a field that is dominated by men. You know what I'm saying? And the thing of it is like, you know, a lot of when I heard about Sister Monique was at an event we had, and I finally got to meet her. But the thing that impressed me the most was the many men that I knew that she had coached. And I was just like sitting there baffled, like, well, how did I miss this bus? You know what I'm saying? Because
that's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because the provision that she provides, man, listen, this woman has been working with me now for the past 2 months, I think. And I'm going to tell you something. Just in the conversation alone, it's been through therapeutic for me because of, you know, the type of, inspiration that she brings. But it's always, she's always feeding you growth. She's always, you know, nurturing, you know. And of course, that's the nature of a woman. But she does it so well that, it, you know, you're not looking at it in that perspective and you're just taking it in. But the whole time she's nurturing you. And she's giving you this guidance.
Right.
And that's why it was so imperative for me to get her on the show because, you know, I think that there needs to be greater acknowledgement to women like herself who are many. There are many women who are working behind the scenes to help brothers and sisters get out of prison, man. And we need to really know who these people are, you know. And having Monique on the show is truly awesome. And when you talk about heroes, we're sitting right here now speaking to one. You know what I'm saying? And this is something that has to be continuously celebrated. You know, and as men, it's our responsibility to uplift these sisters and exalt them to where they can be influential, not just in the families, but in our communities and as a nation. So, you know, tell us now, like, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to in the future to further project the things that you're striving to bring to our community and our people?
Thank you for those kind words. I really appreciate that. Okay, so this reentry, I landed 4 contracts, 3 at a prison and 1 in a jail for my workbook that I created. It's a reentry workbook. Because I noticed the workbook, some of the reentry stuff that I've seen is so outdated and old. Old, like probably at 30 years old. So I'm pushing that throughout the United States. That's my goal for 2024 is just to push that and sell those. And then I've created several curriculums over the years, and to implement that, I did ask the Department of Corrections here, but they shot me down. They said they didn't have enough money. They didn't have the funding for me. I did ask them here if I could be a traveling prison coach and bring my work and what I do to each prison to make change for the better for them. But I was shot down. They told me that I was not in, like, you know, they claim they didn't have no money, which I don't believe. But anyway.
That's a
combo. So, you know, I'm just not home twiddling my thumbs. I mean, during the day, I'm an accounts payable manager. So, like, that's my day job. I mean, just not at homework. That pays the bills. I get paid well for doing that. However, this is not work for me. Teaching and pouring into people who look like me is not at all work for me. I need to, I'm always invited to, like, these prison reform meetings and, you know, stuff like that. And I'll be shocked because I'm like, oh, I didn't even think you guys was going to invite me again from the last time because I had to I had to put people in place. So, but I don't know if they invite me back for controversy or what. I don't know, but they invite me back for that. Just keep being in their face, keep speaking on the topics. You know, I was booked for Lawrenceville tomorrow, and then I got the call somebody died there today from fentanyl.
Wow.
They OD. So now the prison is locked down, and I can't even go in there. You know, they're dying left and right in there. They're dying left and right, actually, in a lot of the prisons. So,
yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm addressing that. Like, we need to address what's going on.
Right.
Why are they getting their hands on this? And how is brothers sitting on in drug pods, drug rehab pods, and then they're dying from drugs? So, you see the situation that's going on in Greensville. Georgia is off the chain. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I've never seen it so bad. The Georgia prisons is absolutely between the fighting and killing. Somebody's getting murdered 2-3 times a day at Smith Prison and Macon Prison. Like, it's crazy. The drugs, the killing. They're recording it. They're sending it out on Facebook, on social media. And so you're seeing all of this. You're seeing people getting stabbed. You're seeing them getting killed. And that will play into your psyche. So we need to, you know, as just a person who's out in the free world, seeing that coming across your page or, like, I'm connected with all of the prison pages and stuff. When you see stuff like that and you're like, damn, this could be my kid. This could be my child. It's people sitting in prison just for that child support. You know, like, they've never done a bid before, and now they're dead, you know? Extortions is getting high. It's just a lot of nonsense going on. But I just feel a lot of this stuff can be resolved if they listen. If they listen to people like me, they listen to people like you, we can get – who else knows better and know what they need other than – know the need what's in prison than y'all. Y'all been there.
Yes, sir.
So bring you in to resolve these things. And I'm going to tell you this. The brothers will listen to y'all, the strangers, and the young boys will listen to y'all before they listen to their own parents. So, like, do you really want to, like, do they really want to help or they want to keep causing destruction? And that might
come
be an oxymoron statement, you know what I'm saying? But what is the answer? The answer is bringing a third-party security third-party to me in that's not affiliated with the state or the Department of Corrections and bring them in. And the staff needs to be, now, I ain't going to say stripped down, but checked thoroughly before they even go clock in for work, including the warden. That will eliminate a lot of stuff. Brings people in that's not biased to prison stuff and just bring them in just to check them. Because something got to give, because at the end of the day, if the COs and all these people are bringing this stuff in, they need to be charged with murder.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
That's right.
They
Indeed.
Do. These people blood, that young boy that just died, that blood is on their hands.
That's right.
Indeed.
That's right.
A whole life left out.
Wow,
this man could be, he could have been the next mayor. He could have came home and changed his whole life around. He could have been the next mayor.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been an engineer. He could have been anything. Now he's dead. That is just like, make it make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. And these people need to be held accountable that's in there. They have to be held accountable. Who did this?
Wow.
Yeah, he took the drug, but who gave it to him? Who did this? I'm not even going to hold the next inmate, the next offender, whoever gave that to him, if that was the case, I don't know. Like, I'm not even going to really hold that person because guess what? Where'd he get it from?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, and this, you know, it's stuff like that. Like, it's a lot.
I can hear you know, I know everybody listening can hear the passion that this sister has. You know, imagine now, this is her experience continuously. And this is the experience that, you know, I myself, Hassan, Krista, many of the people that you hear on the show, we're frustrated with, because, you know, these things have to be answered. You can't just keep saying, well, there's another tragic death. No, there's a reason behind that tragic death. We have to start addressing these issues and holding these people, these wardens, we have to start holding them accountable. We have to start holding, because they are the facilitators over these facilities, and there's no way that here it is, you got Greensville, there's no contact business going on, the COVID thing. So how are these gentlemen getting drugs? They're not getting, they don't have the opportunity. When they get visits, they can't exchange food or anything of this nature. You understand? So how are they getting this fentanyl and things of this nature in? They're getting it in through those who are employed there. And this is the
reality. Did you see that big drug sweep at Greensville recently? All them drugs?
Oh, yeah.
I said,
drugs,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
It can kill a whole neighborhood, all that stuff that they found.
Yeah.
This is
the madness that we continue. Do we,
right.
Jay Sean, I know we got a caller now, Jay Sean. I know we got a caller now. This is one of the things I can say is that sometimes we don't get callers because people are actually listening and entertained and taking in the information. So, you know, if you're listening and you like
the I can see that. I definitely put the information out and hit my people up. People probably just don't even want to just, you know, I get it.
Even if
nobody plugs in, you know, it's still a great bill. Like, I'm fine with that. I've spoken in front of 10,000 people. I've done podcasts with 7,000-8,000 people on it, and like, as long as we get to one person or one another,
that's right.
It's all good.
That's all we do. We're here to be the messenger. Jay Sean, do we have any callers?
No, not at this time. No callers. One message though. You got a message from Latoya. Latoya gave him. Says she's somewhere where it's loud in the back, so she just left a message for the guest that she said that God don't put anything in your path that you can't handle, and that she's doing a beautiful thing and take time out for herself and whoever God put on her path, you know, just continue to do what she's doing.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Latoya.
Appreciate
that.
Yeah. Latoya is a family member, a point of impact. She constantly supports us. And, you know, Hassan, go ahead. You want to build on this? And you're right. This is a very intense field. I love this field.
That's my son's father name, too, Brother Hassan. My son's father name is Hassan.
Oh wow! Oh okay. Well, then I'm glad that my namesake could be a part of your life. Real talk, because honestly, because sometimes we don't understand the connection right in things, we have to really understand how everything is interconnected, and what we're talking about right now with the symptoms of what we see as a disease called mass incarceration is based upon, you know, the idea that they wanted to destroy all hope from anyone who was in our communities. And we got to take it all the way back to the crime bill, right? The idea of truth and sentencing with abolishing parole, right, and getting rid of and bringing in mandatory minimums and bringing in 85% back in 1995 was to crush any hopes of a black messiah. I want you to understand that this is an extension of COINTELPRO, right? Because
right,
it was directly it was directed at our communities. And now we are suffering from the mental health through loss of hope, right? Through confusion, through complacency, through the conditions in our communities, having men being separated from the community and having the children being raised by the streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then them created the perfect environment for destruction, which is what prison is. Prison is not a place meant for you to come out as a scholar. Prison is a place meant for you to come out beat down, broken up, no hope, no understanding, in hopes that you will come back. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's right.
At the end of the day, we their meal ticket. You know, my elder of ours by the name of Johnny Nelson used to always tell me, he said, man, what shepherd do you know that want to get rid of his flock? Right? We have to understand that we are a commodity. It's about money. And the worse the conditions are, the more that they can say, we don't need to bring back parole because we don't need to let these drug users out, these abusers, these crazies, and all that type of stuff, right? It allows for them to control a certain narrative. What we have to do is we have to throw the blame back on them, just like we're doing right now, right? For people to understand that them drugs ain't come in by themselves, right? Conditions ain't that way by themselves, right? You can say learning and healing environment, but you can't give that to a man in 18 months when he's been locked up 20 years. You see?
Mm-hmm.
These are the things we have to talk about, and we need to get that aspect of your reentry book. We need to get it through legislation. If we need to go to Brian Moran and the Board of Corrections, and we need to go to them and say, this need to be in there, and we have a petition from our entire community saying, we want it, or we're going to get you up out of there. You got to go. You got to go.
That's right.
We
got to
do something, though.
Well said, brother. Well said, well spoken. At this time, Sister Monique, you want to give your final words to the audience and your closing, even with your closing words?
Absolutely. Can I give my information out as well?
Sure.
My email?
Yeah.
Address? Okay. If anybody want to, you know, just contact me or hit me up, if you have any questions, you can go to destinedtoadvocate@gmail.com. And that's destinedtoadvocate@gmail.com. I want to say, follow the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I grew up with all the gods in the earth, 5% nation in Brooklyn, you know, so, you know, I was raised from the teachings, Father Allah and everything. And one thing I always say, even on my website, it says, with unity we can accomplish much. We really need to implement that amongst one another, because it's necessary. I also want to say we're accountable for one another. And the quicker our people can adapt that thought, the quicker things we can move on things, seriously. Instead of competing, instead of jealousy, instead of envy, just stupid stuff, gossiping, he say, she say, and all that. It's just the things that we want to just throw each other away for. That stuff must stop.
Yes.
Visit somebody in prison. Send them a JPEG tonight. Send them a picture through JPEG. Go get a card. Cards are two for a dollar. I do quarterly cards to people. I send out about 50 or 60 quarterly to people. Some people I don't even know. And it makes their day. That's the only card that they get through the year. They only get mail from me because they have nobody, and it makes them smile and it makes them happy. So please reach out, even if it's just a, look, I'm sorry I haven't heard from you, you haven't heard from me, but I do want to tell you I'm thinking about you and I love you. Those three words hold weight. And you can just set the mood and energy for that said person for the rest of the week, the rest of the month. So just try and do stuff like that. Sign a petition. You don't even have to do much, but something like that is doing a lot. Now, I ain't saying sign every petition, because I don't sign every petition, because I investigate all the time with cases and stuff, so I'm going to thoroughly look up what petition am I signing, and just get involved with the community work and stuff like that. Stop waiting. This is my last thing. I'm sorry, brothers. Stop waiting for somebody else to do something. Just do it. Even if it's like you collected blankets and y'all did all that wonderful stuff the other day, brother. And just get out there and do it. Nobody needs to hold your hand for nothing. I'm a one-woman army. They call me Harriet Tubman. That's my nickname. So that's my nickname. That's what they that's what they call me. I can go somewhere. Hey, Harriet. And so
I'm with it.
If I can do it, everybody else can do it. Just do something and don't complain about all of this stuff that's going on. You complaining and this, that, and the third. I don't like a whiner. I don't like a complainer. You waking up every morning to complain about the black man being incarcerated is not the move. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
We know
right.
they're there.
Right.
I sit there every week looking at hundreds of black men, 80% of them is black in my audience, chucking back tears. So trust me, I know where they're at. And they don't need to be reminded every day where they are. If you're not going to pour into them, step aside. And that's pretty
right.
much
there you go. Wow.
That's all I
Well, thank you so much. this is a powerful show. Again, we just keep hitting them over the fence for the wonderful people, the awesome people that we have on this show. We want to thank you. Jayshaw, can we get another applause for this show?
Sure.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
We want to thank you.
Y'all want to have me back on towards, I'm going on D&D after my birthday, but if y'all want me to come back on just to give tips on mental health with black men and returning citizens, I can do that as well.
Oh, we would love to. We would love to have an addition.
How to push through.
Yeah, we can have a follow-up show with that. That would be wonderful. And
I have a lecture that I do called Mental Incarceration, Breaking the Chain Mentally.
Cool. Yep. We would love to have that. We can have that right on the show. So we got to get out of here, y'all. We definitely had a wonderful night.
Yeah.
I'm gonna seek Mrs. Monique's information, and I'm gonna print it on the platform, the Facebook platform, and also Instagram, so you'll be able to plug into her. Please, if you need the help, reach out. Nobody can help you if you got your mouth closed. So, you know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying?
Indeed.
You're hearing it firsthand from a young lady who is doing the work. Trust me, she is about her work. Trust me. And I think you really know that when you listen to her. So please, if you need the help, reach out. Let us help you. Let us assist you in any way that we can. Once again, mad love to my family, Community United, Focus Cuffs, and Freedom Over Everything. We here, we pounding out Point of Impact, y'all. This is the work we do. Myself, Mr. Hansford, my brother Hassan, Shabazz, and of course,
peace,
Mother Queen Krista, we love you. You know what I'm saying? And our producer, Jay Sean. Jay Sean, you want to give any final words?
Oh, no. You said you're gonna give out her information on your Facebook page.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. No, that's what I was gonna ask you again. And very good show. It's always good to hear wise words from a woman. It's always a good thing.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate that. We birth the nation. We are the first teachers, aren't we?
That's right.
I appreciate
that's right.
Those words. I didn't even know somebody else was on the line.
Is somebody else on the line?
No, I didn't know Jay Sean was even on the line.
Oh, yeah, that's the producer, Jay Sean. He's the producer. He does all the vaccine work for us, you know what I'm saying? And he also is the taxpayer, the tax man in our pocket. No,
But
he's doing great.
Right.
No doubt. But
he does.
It was nice
to meet you.
Hey, Malai, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense, right?
That's right. Before we go, I want everybody go on the page. Please go on the page and support the brother King's Son. King's Son is really in need of our assistance and our help. So please go on the page. You can see his information, his GoFundMe page as well. And again, also go on the page and you will find information pertaining to Ms. Jacina. So, you know, if you want to contact her, just go on the page. There will be the provision of her information as well. So just, you know, tune in. And please, if you missed the show or you caught only half of the show, y'all know y'all can always come on the page and revisit the show. We're always there. The show remains there on the page. So every show that we've ever done is on the Facebook page. So you can always go on there and listen to many of the shows that we've had, past and present. So, you know, again, we give all praise and glorification to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And this is about the work of the people. This is about the work of the people. And this is what we do. So right now, what we'd like for you all to do, right now, just take this moment right now, man. Stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing and do something that will benefit you in this life, that will benefit you in the hereafter, and that will benefit your family, and that will benefit your community and your locality. Okay? Mm-hmm. Everyone, please be safe. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a wonderful week. And please be safe. And join us again next week on Sunday, 7 p.m., Point of Impact. And look out for us in the next. We're going to be – I'm going to give you a date right now. Let me give you a date. We're going to be changing our date in about two more weeks on Wednesday. Look for us on the 22nd of Wednesday night. We will be broadcasting. On that night, we'll be moving out of Sunday night into Wednesday night. We're looking to begin November the 22nd. That's November the 22nd. Mm-hmm. That will be the night before the celebration of what they call Thanksgiving. So please stay tuned. Come on in. Join us. We should have Mother Queen Krista back with us on that date. So join us. And everyone, please be safe. But most importantly, keep Allah first, okay? That's it, y'all. We out for the night. Everyone, good night. Take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum.
That's right.
Peace. Alaikum assalam.
Peace.
Good night.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
I love you, I do. Whoa, I think I'm in love again.
Uh-oh, uh-oh.
here we go again. Don't wanna have another heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we thought she'd take my breath away. Get a grip and start out with a friendship. Cause sailing with a Moby Dick can sink a ship. Thinking with your head, but you get a shot of one. Remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90-day rule, but we rush it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and stay stable when nature throws us a curve of love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, yeah, love a homie, love a friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running. To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, as you, I want to see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I want to say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh, my God. I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.